We're doing Rut. Tomorrow night is Shavuot, and the Ashkenazim have the custom on Shavuot to read Rut in Shul. The Sfaradim have the custom in their Tikkun Leil Shavuot that they also read Rut. So we're continuing. We're in the first chapter, Pasuk Yudalid. Vatisena kolan vativkena od. So they raised their voices and they cried a second time. Vatisha kolpan lachamota. And Orpah gave her mother-in-law a kiss. And the Pasuk doesn't tell us what happened. It just says, Virut davekaba. And Ruth clung on to her mother-in-law. She connected to her mother-in-law. And the next pasuk reveals that Orpah left. So our sages say, and at this point, if there are children watching, this is not fit for children. Our sages say that Orpah turned her back on Naomi. Orpah comes from the word Oref, the nape of the neck. And so Orpah leaves Naomi. This leads us to many questions. The first question is it wrong of a non-Jew to remain not Jewish? Our assumption is that Hashem created a planet with different people who have different responsibilities, and a non-Jew is responsible to keep the seven Noahide laws. But is he responsible to convert to Judaism? Our assumption is not. So then why would Chazal hold Orpah, so to speak, in contempt? And perhaps the answer is because Orpah had come in contact with greatness. It's one thing for a person to say, I live in my own country, what do you want from me? I have nothing to do with them. I'll be decent, I'll be humane, I'll keep the seven Noahide laws. But the Talmud tells us that when there are cities that come in contact with the greatness of the Jewish people, then the Talmud says God looks down at those people. If you've come in contact with it, then why weren't you inspired by it? Then you've made a choice to ignore it. There's a difference between someone who lives their own life and someone who comes in contact with greatness. The Talmud says there was a city where the Jews used to gather to learn Torah, and there were so many Jews learning in such purity that when they'd learn Torah, a fire would appear above them. And it says the non-Jews saw the fire too. And then the Talmud says, well, then why didn't they convert? And the Talmud says, stupid, huh? That's the Talmud's response. So there you see in Talmud a line that if someone saw a miracle, if someone saw things like that and they didn't convert, then the Talmud looks at it and says, that's stupid. But the general approach doesn't seem to be that way. It seems that they have their responsibility to do their seven Noahide laws, we have ours. And then that would be one answer as to why Orpah is held in contempt, because she came in contact with Naomi, Mahlon, Chilion, and Elimelech, who were the giants of the Jewish people. As much as the Megillah tells us their faults, irrespective of those faults, they were great. They were still great people. Let's just see one more understanding here. And it could also be, two more understandings. It could also be that Orpah had it in her. She had potential. You see, she started the journey. And then she turned away. And it could also be because Rambam writes that Rus and Orpah underwent a conversion. And in Tosfos it says they were still minors. So she wasn't the average non-Jew who grew up in non-Jewish culture where keep the Noahide laws, be it decent non-Jew, but who's telling you you have to convert? Orpah had converted already. And now she had a choice whether she would uphold her conversion as she grew old, or she would say, leave me, I don't need it. And Orpah caved in. And it could be, a fourth angle, it could be that Chazal spoke negatively about Orpah because she went to the opposite extreme. Orpah is going to mother Goliath, Arpa is going to mother his siblings, one of which is called Yishbi, who almost kills David HaMelech. Arpa herself will try to kill the chief general of Israel, Avishai ben Tzeruya. So Arpa will go to the opposite extreme. Our sages say that night, Arpa went and slept with 100 men and a dog. Arpa would be intimate with men in the most animalistic fashion, whereas ordinarily it's assumed that a husband or wife, a man and a woman, are face to face, and that connection reflects a connection that's not just physical. When Arpa would allow people to be intimate with her, she wasn't facing them. She was facing the other way, and that's why she was called Arpa, one who everyone saw the back of her neck, and Chazal say that's a reflection of the lack of intimacy, the most animalistic way in which a person can be intimate. I shouldn't say most, but a very animalistic way, where the two are not connecting as two human beings connect. Rather, she's facing the other way while they're being intimate. So that's what Chazal said from the name Arpa, the one whose back is what she showed. So we would think she just turned her back on Naomi. Okay, she went back home. No, Chazal say she took it much further. And she ended up mothering children who would blaspheme, children who were really, really vile. So Chazal gives us a different picture of Arpa. And this goes back to the question we discussed last week. When does a person's actions undo their past? Does Arpa's behavior now undo the good that she did earlier? It's a good question. I don't know from Chazal. At this point, we see they're both together with Naomi, and Arpa kisses her and leaves. Yes?
Yeah, I want to say, Elimelech and his sons, they were leaders of the Jewish people. How Elimelech and Naomi allow their children to marry non-Jewish people?
So these women converted, it says in Rambam. They converted as young girls, they were princesses, and they converted and they wanted to marry into this royal family of Elimelech.
Okay, so can we say that Orpan was still Jewish?
No, because she converted as a child. And when a child converts, when they grow older, they have to decide, do they now validate that conversion or not? A child who converts can convert, but that conversion is held at bay until they become an adult.
But we are talking about two married women here.
But they were minors. Ruth, only later on in the story, is going to be called a young adult. At this point, she's still a minor. There are different opinions in the Medrash. One opinion says she was 40 years old at this point. But going with the other opinion that she was a child when she married Mahlon, that means she was two when the king had them married into Elimelech's family, because she's only going to turn 12 now, and she was married to Mahlon 10 years approximately. It says they were in the Moabite territories for 10 years. And it says that after they married, so it sounds like they were married to them 10 years. So again, that type of conversion when she's 2 years old, we can understand that she has to ratify it when she becomes an adult. Ruth is going to ratify it and Arpa is not. We're up to Pasuk Tet Vav in the first chapter. So Naomi says, Hine shava yevimtech elamah ve'el Eloheha. Your sister-in-law, she went back to her nation, she went back to her religion. Shuvi acharei yevimteich. Go back after your sister-in-law to your nation and your religion. And that we discussed last week, how could she say such a sentence? I don't have a good answer. You could tell a person not to convert, but how could you tell a person to go back to their religion? Unless the Moabite religion of the time did not transgress the Noahide laws, we have a slight indication of that because we see Eglon, the Moabite king, Ruth's father, respected Hashem. So you have some kind of indication of that, maybe. Vatomer Ruth, Altif Yeivi. Don't fight me, don't upset me, don't insist. Leozveich Lashuv Me'acharayich. Don't force me to leave you, to stop following you. Ki me'el asher teilechi eilech. Because I want to convert to Judaism. Naomi tells her we have to keep Shabbos and Yom Tov. We're not allowed to walk outside our community 2,000 footsteps. So Ruth says, wherever you go, I'll go. Umasher talini alin. Naomi tells her, we're not allowed to go to sleep at an inn or a room where someone else, another man or someone who's not Jewish, is sleeping. Ruth says, I'll sleep wherever you sleep. Amechami. She says, you know, we have 613 commandments. Ruth says, whatever you watch, I'll watch. As though it's always been my nation. Naomi says, it's not enough to keep the commandments. You can't go back to church. You cannot pray to any other God. You will only be able to pray to Hashem. And Ruth says, your God is my God. Now the question here is, didn't Ruth know this? We just said they underwent a conversion. That brings to question what kind of religious lifestyle did they lead out there in Moab? Or, now Ruth is an adult and Naomi says, I want you to know what you're getting yourself into. Maybe you felt these were the customs of the home. It was nice to run a house this way. It was nice to rest on Shabbos. We're going into Jewish territory. There's a real court there. There, it's not about, it's nice. It's you're going to have to. And that's a big difference. It's one of the hardships a ger entertains. That before they convert, it's nice, it's easy, it's practice. Once they convert, suddenly you have to, and that makes it all that much harder. It's much easier when you feel like you don't have to. In certain respects. In other respects, it's easier once you feel like you have to. It's like a kid who doesn't feel like they have to fast yet. So then they have a bigger temptation to eat. Once a child knows, that's it, I have to fast Yom Kippur, I'm not eating today. So in certain ways, once that clicks, then it makes certain elements easier, because you just know it's off limits. Basher tamuti amut. Naomi tells her, you know, you're coming with me into Israel. There's a court there. They can administer four types of death penalties: stoning, burning, killing by the sword, hanging. It's serious business. If you decide you don't want to keep this, you could be in big trouble. Ruth says, I'm following you. I'm going to die the same way you die. Visha mekaver. Naomi says, even when you're buried, you're not going to go back home and get buried with your family. Jews get buried in a Jewish burial plot. And if a person is a sinner, they don't get buried next to righteous people. Where you're buried is also a reflection of the life you've led. And Ruth says, wherever you're buried, that's where I'm going to be buried. Ko yase Adonai li v'cho yosif ki hamavet yafrid b'ni uveinech. Ruth says, please, stop pushing me. Stop talking to me this way. Hashem should pay me the same way he has until now, because I'm sticking with you. And if I leave you, then Hashem should punish me the way he has until now, because I ain't leaving you till I die. V'tere ki mitametzeti lalechet ita. So Naomi sees that Ruth is getting stronger and stronger in her insistence to go with her. So Naomi ceased to talk to Ruth. And this is a balancing act. You sometimes have to push. and you have to know when to stop pushing. Some people know how to push, but they don't know how to stop. Some people know how to stop, but they don't know how to push. Naomi hears the key words, and she says, that's it, we're done. I did mine, you did yours. She doesn't push her anymore. It's a challenge as a parent also. Sometimes a parent knows what the kid's doing wrong. A parent knows the falls the kid's about to have. Sometimes you gotta push, and sometimes you gotta say, enough, not my job anymore. It's time for them to lead their life. Our sages say, Naomi stopped talking to Ruth. It's not only that Naomi stopped telling her, you know, you can get this punishment and that punishment. It's tough because of this. It's tough because of that. It also means that Naomi stopped telling her things. She wouldn't criticize her. She wouldn't say, you know, you're converted. You sort of have to behave this way. You sort of have to do that. We discussed last night that one of the halachot of a convert is that you're not supposed to criticize them. Don't keep looking over their shoulders and saying, you know, you should do this different and that different. Ein medak dekinimo. You don't look at them and start nitpicking with a ger. That's learned from here, from this pasuk, that Naomi stopped talking to her. Doesn't mean they weren't on talking terms. They were best friends. She stopped telling her things about Judaism. When they learned together, they learned together, but she wouldn't rebuke her, she wouldn't warn her. She was her pleasant best friend. But techna ledaber elah, she stopped talking to her as a teacher. She stopped telling her, you know, it's dangerous, it's scary, be careful, etc. That part of it's over. You know who needs to know this? We're sitting here in class where the majority of the class is converts. You guys have to know this. Because the people who are toughest on the gerim are the gerim. The people who complain most about gerim are gerim. For every complaint I get about a ger from someone else, I get at least 10 from a fellow ger. The people who are toughest on the gerim, I've been here for over a decade. The people who complain most about gerim are the gerim themselves. Gerim have a tremendously high standard for their fellow gerim. And remember this, halacha. There comes a point, the person's proven himself, leave him alone, that's it. Now they'll learn at their pace. She stopped. Yes, sir.
I think also
Naomi
complained to them who not
gerim,
have to remember not remind gerim that they're gerim.
Okay.
Because I think most people that's not caring don't know that, and they do it all the time.
I hear you.
I can tell you an example. I were at the Shabbat dinner, and there was one here in a process, and he asked, you know, where you're from this, from that. And he was telling like a story, like how he come to Israel. He asked, you know, a question. And in the middle, like, maybe doing a gap or something, not relevant to the question he asked. And he was like, that's not appropriate.
We're continuing.
The only person who to know somebody is Gar is the Kala and the parents, the Kala and the rabbi, and then the favorite of everybody else in the world don't have to know.
I don't know.
What do you want to say?
I agree with them, except if you want to know if you can use them, you should know if you're going to daven or something, you want to know if you can use them as a minion.
His point is, after a person converted, other people shouldn't publicize. He's not talking about during the process. He's talking about after the conversion. That it's not. It shouldn't be public information.
Okay. No, but if someone's during the process, that's important to know.
He's not talking about that.
No. Even in the process, nobody's like.
No, there it's a little more sticky.
Yeah,
because you run into problems.
I need to know if I can pass them wine. I need to know if I can drop in with them in Zoom. If I want to
pass the wine.
It's a little more sticky. People do Zimun. People have minyan. You get into complicated situations.
If you're a minion,
I once had 12, 14 guys in my house, and I honored someone with Zimon. And I said, Nevarech she'achalnu mishalo. And he goes, Nevarech elokeinu, no? I said, no. And he's looking at me like, why not? We had like 14, 15 guys, and I said, let's make a minion. So he says, okay, v'hu rachum. I said, no, let's make a minion. And he's looking at me like, you got 14 guys here. So he didn't know that half the guys didn't finish their conversion yet. I didn't have a minion. What was I going to say?
He said it, but I never met a guy who was middle in this process when there was like 10 people or whatever who didn't say that I don't count.
Okay, so we don't like to go there, but
I'm talking about somebody sitting at a table at Shabbat. There shouldn't be a question somebody should ask if you're in a process or not in a process. If he doesn't bring it up,
if he
brings it up, it's okay. If he doesn't bring it up, you shouldn't ask a question that's not relevant to the question he asked. And when he was asked, he was like really uncomfortable. He felt suddenly, I could see on him, he felt that suddenly, yeah, I'm different, I'm not one of you. I'm like, you could see it, he felt it. He felt it like that.
I hear you, Pasuk Yutet.
I can read person when they feel like uncomfortable, even they try to be polite, that they that they didn't feel uncomfortable about it. I could see it, and I talked to them afterwards, and he also said, like, he was uncomfortable by the question because it was strange. It was not relevant to the question the person asked, and in the middle he was telling his story, like he came to Israel.
So the two of them walked. Chazal say, why does the pasuk say the two of them walked? To tell me that once Ruth decided she's doing a real conversion, Hashem viewed them as equals. The pasuk is telling me specifically, Vateilachna shtehem, they walked together. Says Rabbi Avu, see how much the Rabbon Shalom loves Gerim. That once Ruth decided, she was equated with Naomi. We see from that medrash an interesting point. If you would have asked me, I would have said, Ruth decided a long time ago she was converting. Naomi didn't know until Naomi questioned her where Ruth was holding. That's not what the Medrash says. The Medrash says that only after Naomi questioned her and said, you know, it's challenging, there are death penalties, there's a court, there are punishments, you have limitations on where you could walk, where you could sleep, what you can do. And only then does Ruth say, I'm going. I want to be a part of it. And the Medrash says that's when Ruth decided. Kevan she'natna da'ata. That means sometimes the process is important for the person in the conversion process themselves. Someone sits them down and says, you know, think about it. There are challenges. There are dangers. There are hurdles. Or like, I tell people in the process, it's not history, it's reality. It's still today. Saudi Arabia, it's illegal for a Jew to walk in. In Jordan, if they know you're Jewish, you can get killed. Same thing in Egypt. So yeah, you have these little tourist sites where you can go. But when a person converts, he's not only joining the Jewish people, he's also becoming a target. A target for anti-Semitism. And he's going to get the same persecution as all the Jews, if not worse. And it's real. So that's something which it says in Shulchan Aruch, we tell a person before they convert. Realize that. It's not all games. It's not all fun. You know, there are a lot of parts of Judaism that are beautiful. Then there are parts that are dangerous. People do get killed. You know, the ger in the Groz time, the famous ger, was killed. Right? When Jews are executed, so the converts are executed with them. When Jews are persecuted, the converts are persecuted with them. And sometimes the convert is persecuted more than the Jew. And so a person has to be aware of that. Tells us the Medrash, once Ruth heard all that, she made a decision. That means it wasn't only Naomi who now understood her decision, but Ruth's insistence was an advancement for Ruth. And right afterwards, the pasuk says, "Vateilach nashetehem." The two of them went. The pasuk is equating them. Yes, Daniel.
I had a talk with someone today about worthiness, and then he also said something that they found out. Like it comes from him, so I don't know where he found it out. But it's not a person that they say something that is not being considered. That they say they found out that from the saliva. From a Jewish woman, like if she's, they can tell if he's Jewish or not from the saliva.
Okay.
Is there such thing as a
doesn't
genetic something that you can?
I don't know. Got to ask someone else.
And if it's true,
let's go on.
No, how would it affect?
Let him answer all these questions. He's the one saying it. Ad boa na beit lechem. I know nothing about it, and it doesn't sound right to me. Ad boa na beit lechem. Till they came to the house of bread. So we know there's a city called Beit Lechem. So they came hungry. They were walking on Yom Tov. They left Chutz La'aretz and transgressed the halacha of walking those 2,000 footsteps because their lives were in danger. They had no food. Now they come to Israel, and Israel's again the house of bread. Israel's again filled with sustenance. So they left Israel when they had bread, or when Naomi had bread and no one else did. And now they come back and they're without any food, but they come back to Israel for the food in Israel. Vayehi kevmo ana Beit Lechem. So when they entered Beit Lechem, vatehom kol ha'ir aleihem. So the people of the city rushed over to them. The whole city's excited. Naomi came back. Everyone got excited to come and greet her. Vatomar nahazot Naomi. And they all ran and they says, that Naomi? Is that Naomi? Wait a second. When Naomi left, she was pregnant. When Naomi left, she was wealthy. When Naomi left, she had a husband and two amazing children. When Naomi left, she used to ride chariots. You couldn't even see her. No one saw her. She was covered in veils. Now she's coming back in rags. She doesn't have shoes on her feet. She's walking barefoot. Is that Naomi? So people were in shock. What had happened here? So it was the middle of Pesach. And Boaz, who was the new shofet, his wife just passed away. And the people had repented. Boaz kept davening and trying to educate. And although when 10 years earlier Elimelech and Naomi left Israel, the people used to mock the leadership. They didn't have respect for the Shofet. Under Boaz, they respect him. Everyone gathers to accompany Boaz in the funeral of his wife. And so the whole city is there accompanying Boaz, and in walks Naomi and Ruth. So they come at a time where they can't just slip into the city. They bump into the whole city coming out of the city accompanying the funeral procession. So everyone starts talking. Who is that? That's Naomi? And they barely notice the woman who's not yet Jewish, dressed in non-Jewish clothing that we call Rut. Vatomer alehen. Naomi addresses the women folk. Al tikrena li Naomi. You shouldn't call me Naomi. Kirena li mara. Call me the bittered one. Ki heimar shaddai li meod. Because Hashem has made me very, very bitter. Ani milaya halachti. When I left, I was full. I had my husband, I had my kids, I had my wealth, I had my pregnancy. Vireka meshivani Adonai. And Hashem in His mercy brought me back empty. And if this is how I am when Hashem is merciful with me, what can I say? Hashem has, in His mercy, treated me this way. Lama tikrena li Naomi. Why do you call me pleasant? Vadonai anavi. Hashem has testified that I am obviously not such a pleasant person. I turned my back on the people. Obviously, I'm not as pleasant as you thought I was. Vishadai heirali. And Hashem has made my life bad. So Naomi over here is expressing her recognition that she's at fault. Very often when life takes a change for the worse, what we say is, or what we're tempted to say is, Ribbono Shalom, why are you doing this to me? Because unless a person's a big tzaddik, they think they're a big tzaddik. If a person's a big tzaddik, then they realize they have a lot to improve on. And they don't have grounds to make claims and demands and requests and arguments. When a person isn't a big tzaddik, then they make a big deal of the things they do, and then they feel like, Ribbono Shel Olam, why'd you do this to me? Naomi is a big tzaddiket. So Naomi says, I deserved it. Look at what Hashem's done to me. Hashem has testified it. If this is where I am, then obviously this is what I deserve. Vatashov Naomi Verut Amoavia Chalata Ima. So Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth. That's interesting. She's her daughter-in-law. I guess if we say now her gear takes effect retroactively, so retroactively she was married to Machlo. We said that when they become adults, they can ratify their gear retroactively or annul it. Now she's ratifying it, so retroactively she's been married all along to Machlon. Hashava misdei Moav. Ruth is returning from the fields of Moav. Ve'ma ba'u beit lechem bitchilat ketzir seorim. They came to Beit Lechem on Pesach, or the eve of Pesach, or the morning of Chol HaMoed, when they're just starting the harvest of the barley. As we know, on the first day of Chol HaMoed, we bring the Omer sacrifice. Tonight we finished counting the counting of the Omer from that Omer sacrifice, the first morning of Chol HaMoed. And so they show up the first day of Chol HaMoed into Israel. Ul Naomi. In the book of Ruth, every pasuk begins with one letter. Which letter is that?
Vav.
Vav, except for eight psukim. And Sagi Cohen pointed out to me that the same is true about the book of Yonah. All the verses in the book of Yonah start with a vav except for eight. And in the book of, why didn't the book of Ruth begin with the letter vav except for eight psukim? That is a great question. That is an excellent question. I don't remember the answer. The Maharitz. I don't remember. It's been... No. It's been over 20 years since I learned the commentary of the Maharitz on the Siddur. He's the one that pointed out the Maharitz is a Yemenite commentary on the Tachleil, the Yemenite Siddur. And he writes about it, and I don't remember what he writes. And then, I'm embarrassed to tell you that about a year or two ago, I found it in Rabbeinu Bechaye also. He also addresses it, so I don't have that excuse that it's been 2 decades, it's been about a year or two, and I still don't remember. I found it in another source, I think the Rabbeinu Bechaye, an earlier source than the Maritz. I don't remember the reason. I don't remember, but I think, I'm pretty sure, in my notes online you can find it. If you go to 123torah.com, under holidays and fasts, you go to Shavuot and you have Ruth, and over there I think it's in my notes, I don't remember. Ul Naomi moda leisha ish gibor chayil min mishpachat Elimelech ushmo Boaz. Naomi had a relative who was a big Talmud Chacham. He was from the family of her husband Elimelech. His name is Come Strength. His name is Come Strength. Boaz. Come Brazen Strength. Boaz is 399 years old. Very old man. He's had many children. Boaz has had many, many children. And he's married them off. And every time he makes a wedding, he doesn't invite the other big Talmud Chacham of the day, whose name is Manoach. So he says, it's not nice, because the custom is when you invite someone, they invite you back. I have 70 kids. He has no kids. I'm going to invite him to the wedding, and he's never going to be able to invite me back. It's not nice. So every wedding he makes, he doesn't invite Manoach. And Manoach feels like, Oh, so I'm an animal. I can't have kids, so I don't count. So I don't get invited to his weddings. So Manoach was hurt a little bit every time Boaz made a wedding and did not invite him. So although Boaz lives to the ripe old age of 400 years, he's about to die. We're holding a year away from his passing. In his lifetime, he sees all 70 kids die. All of Boaz's children pass away in his lifetime. And so now that Boaz has buried his wife, Boaz has to look at life and say, I'm the leader of the Jewish people. I've succeeded in bringing them to a higher level, to the point where the famine ended. But within his own family, Boaz has nothing. Everything he built is lost. His wife's passed away. All his children have passed away. And Boaz is still fit and powerful and a big Talmud Chacham, but he is a man who has to deal with a life where everything's gone. Can he start from scratch? Yes. Sometimes when you have a name that's a conjunction of two words, so certain letters fall. You're right, that bow should be with an aleph, right. You have a lot of examples of that, like Yehuda is a combination of Ata Yoducha Achecha. Hapam Odeh Et Hashem, Odeh is with an aleph. You have Kishama Hashem, Shimon, Yilave Ishi, Levi. Within names, it's close enough. It doesn't. You see that already in the Torah, without the Midrashim. Vatomer Ruta Moavia El Naomi. So we have the following scenario. Naomi is impoverished. She's living in some little hut. Ruth is living with her. Naomi, this is her home territory. Everyone knows her. She's back in Beit Lechem. She has properties that belong to her family. And Ruth is the newcomer. She's a young girl. She was once upon a time a princess. And she doesn't look like the common folk. She's the ger who sticks out. Her clothing don't look like anyone else's clothing. Her talk and her behavior is not in sync with the culture of Israel. And she doesn't even know the mistakes she's making. So here the Pasuk tells us the great kindness of Ruth. Ruth tells Naomi, Eilechana hasadeh va'alakotah va'shibolim. Can I please, let me go to one of the fields around here. I'll go to a field where the owner will think that I'm a nice person, and I'll gather the stalks that the poor are entitled to in the field, and I'll bring it home. And this way we don't have to go around collecting charity. There's charity in the fields right now that we're allowed to. Vatomer la lechiviti. Naomi says, go, my daughter. So Ruth, right away, feels like she has to get productive. And here we see a trait of positive people. Positive people always want to help. Wherever they are, they want to make a positive impact. We were once in yeshiva, a group of guys showed up to yeshiva, we brought them coffee, we brought them cakes, they sat and they heard a shiur, and then they were told that in 10 minutes their bus is leaving. So all the guys got together and they said, guys, let's go. So our Rosh Yeshiva, I was teaching in a Hezda Yeshiva, they asked them, what's let's go? You have 10 minutes to the bus. So they said, let's go means, let's get this place looking better than we found it. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, what do you mean? And they said, if we came here to learn Torah, we should leave the place better than we found it. That's our motto in our yeshiva. And the guys got working for 10 minutes, cleaning up the base medrash, cleaning up after themselves, sweeping, washing. In 10 minutes, they wanted the place. Their goal was it should look better than when they came. So that's a motto for a positive person. I'm here, I can do something positive when I'm here. Wherever I am, I can shine a positive light. So Ruth has landed with Naomi in Israel. They're impoverished. She has many challenges, and Naomi has informed her, probably before her conversion, I'm sorry, Ruth, but you are ineligible to marry any Jew. You are a Moabite woman, and you have to pray that one day a Moabite man converts, and you'll marry him. Because the regular Jews, you can't marry. No marrying a Moabite woman. So Ruth, knowing that she might never get remarried, and if she does get remarried, she can't be so certain that it's the most wonderful person, because she doesn't have much to pick from. She's going to get the first guy that she can get, if she can ever get a guy. And she's coming as the underdog, because she's totally impoverished. And nonetheless, Ruth says, I'm converting. And now she's at home, she can sit there and mope. Look at what a sorry state we're in. Look at how tough life is. Why isn't the Ribbono Shel Olam making it easier for us? Okay, so what does she tell Naomi? Let me go out and get food. Ruth stands up to life and says, let me see what I can do right about life. When I was growing up, there was a family whose kids had challenges in their reading, challenges in their education, and I always admired that family because those children were always productive. Their parents managed to ingrain in them that concept, that understanding that you should always be productive. So the guy who was a year older than me dropped out, I think, of seventh grade. I'm not sure if it was high school or before high school. And he spent his high school years working. So he wasn't a high school dropout who was out on the streets doing drugs. He was a high school dropout who was developing his skills so that he would have a trade. He'd have a chavrusa for an hour a day, 2 hours a day. But he was productive. When they asked Rabbi Feinstein, should you teach secular education in the school? So he said, well, if the kids could be learning Torah, then you shouldn't spend their time on too much secular education. But if you're going to have a secular education program, make sure it's good. Because one of the things you have to teach children is to excel. Whatever you do, do it well. That's a trait we have to try to accomplish within ourselves. So Ruth is now at the bottom rung of society. People look down at her. She's from the enemy. She's a person from Hamas that just converted into Judaism. So you look at that and you say, oh, okay. I wonder what crimes her father did. You know, she's come in from enemy territory. And she's converted. And it's worse than that, because she's come with the traitor. She's come in with the person who turned their back on the Jewish people in their hour of need. She comes in with that one family that everyone was counting on. And they said, bye, we're keeping our money. Good luck, guys. So she's come back with not so popular people. Now she's come back with them, and she's from an unpopular country. And Ruth says, I'll go to a field where they'll treat me nicely. Maybe I can be productive. That's the drive. Part of what we have to try to develop within ourselves is not to let the challenges of life snuff out our excitement for life. When I asked Rabbi Feinstein what I should look for in a wife, so one of the things he said to me is, get them with a sparkle in their eye. He said, get a wife who still has a sparkle in her eye, who will take life happily, who will be happy with life. We strive to take life with happiness. Now, that doesn't mean life doesn't throw challenges at us. No one goes through life unscathed. Doesn't exist. Only the deceased are unscathed, right? If you're living, you have challenges. If you're living, you're contending. Life is a challenge. And it's a constant challenge. And there are always going to be challenges. Ruth says, let's do something positive. Let me see how I can help. Let me see how I can help. So Ruth initiates and asks her mother-in-law, let me go. And she says, go. Vateilech vatavo. Ruth goes intelligently. She's got some street smarts. She realizes that she can be taken advantage of. So Ruth says, I'm going to go to a field where I see they're nice to me, for real. Ruth says, I'm going to go in a way that I won't get lost. So Ruth leaves her house and walks to the end of the block. Looks back, recognizes the way back, continues to the next block. Looks back, makes sure she knows the way back, continues the next block. Every leg of her journey, vatelech vatavo, she goes, she reviews the way back. She wants to make sure she can come back without needing other people. Again, the hallmark of a productive person, wherever possible, let me not ask people for favors. It will take a little bit more investment of time on her behalf in the heat of the day to figure out the way to go, but Ruth wants to be certain she can find her way back home. She's going to be carrying a load on her way back home. She hopes she's going to collect a lot of wheat. She wants to make sure that when she comes back, she knows her way. She's not getting lost. The intelligence, the responsibility. Vatelech, vatavo. She goes and comes back. Advances some more and comes back. Vatelakeit basadeh acharei akotzerim. And she's gathering in the field. She's gathering in the field after the young men. She doesn't even notice that there are men, there are women, and maybe she should be behind the women. She's focused on what she's doing and she doesn't notice she's behind the men. Vayiker mikreha. It happened, her coincidence, Hashem made it happen, that chelkat hasadeh levoaz asher mimishpachat Elimelech. The portion of the field that she's collecting in belongs to that man called Come Strength, that man from the family of Elimelech. Vehinevoaz. And an unusual thing happened that day. Boaz, ba mi beit lechem. Boaz is coming from the courts. Ordinarily, Boaz would have been out in the courts. Again, Hashem makes things happen. That day, Boaz comes to the field from Beit Lechem when Ruth is there. Vayomer lakotzerim Adonai imachem. And he tells the men harvesting, God should be with you. We just made an institution in the court that you should greet your fellow man with Hashem's name. People have to recognize more that Hashem is here every day. It should affect their behavior. So they institute that you should say Hashem imachem. On a Friday night, a few months ago, people come by Friday night and they say Shabbat Shalom. So I say Shabbat Shalom. And that's how we end the shul on Friday night. Many shuls you have that. So one guy decided to be a wise aleck. So he shows up and he says, Good Shabbos. So I said, Shabbat Shalom. So he says to me, Rabbi, why don't you say Good Shabbos? So I said, Do you want an answer? I don't want to hurt your feelings, but do you want an answer? He says, Yeah, I say Good Shabbos. Why don't you? I said, Okay. So he was being a little tough. So I said, You want the answer? I'll tell you. I fulfilled an institution of the rabbis. The Mishnah says in the end of Tractate Brachos that we learn from Boaz that it was instituted on purpose to greet another person with Hashem's name. Shalom Aleichem means Hashem, whose name is peace, should be upon you. When we say Shabbat Shalom, we are again invoking Hashem's name. Your Shabbat should be a Shabbat with Hashem, whose name is peace. So I said Shabbat Shalom. But now I want to ask you, why do you say Good Shabbos? I said, you know, you're asking me, so I know why I said Shabbat Shalom, but you have to explain to me why you said Good Shabbos. So the truth is, it's not worth making an issue out of. He made the issue out of it. But that's what we learned from this pasuk, that Boaz tells them, if I were in a community where they say Good Shabbos, I'd try to remind myself to say Good Shabbos too. Person shouldn't stand out. It's fine. Boaz greets them and tells them Hashem should be with you. That's the institution of the day by the court. And they tell him Hashem should bless you. You're finally coming out of your house. You finished your period of mourning. And Hashem should bless you. You should find a wife. You should rebuild your family. ויאמר בועז לנערו הניצב על הקוצרים. Boaz looks over the field and he sees there's something unusual. All the people come to the field, they start collecting from the beginning of the field. There's one person who goes to the end of the field and starts collecting as she's coming to the beginning of the field. She figures, by the time I have a big pile, let me be close to the entrance. So she starts her collection at the end of the field so that her big piles are back at the entrance. She thinks things through. He notices there's one person that when she bends down to pick things up, she bends her knees so that her skirt doesn't get revealed as she bends. She doesn't bend at the waist, but rather she gracefully goes down at her knees to pick up the stalks, so she remains modest. He realizes there's one person that's always paying attention. Did one stalk fall? Did two stalks fall? Then I'm allowed to take it. If three stalks fell, I'm not allowed to take it. She's always checking to see if she's allowed or not allowed. There's one person that whenever the poor people start fighting, that's mine, she pulls back and doesn't fight. He says, wait a second, there's an unusual person out there in the field. Her behavior's different. So Boaz asks the lad who's in charge of all the men harvesting, the foreman, he asks him, and he was appointed that day, that lad, because he also has a job to do. He asks him, Limi anarazo. That girl doesn't seem Jewish. She's not dressed like a Jew. Now, we allow non-Jews to collect with Jews when it comes to charity. But Boaz asks him, what nation is that person coming from? Who is that? So this young man was put in this position by Hashem on that day so that he could have a hand in bringing Mashiach to the world. We have to remember when we're about to talk about someone else, sometimes the Ribon Shel Olam brought us to that place at that time so that we can play an active role in doing what's right and speak positively. This lad will lose his hand. He will say something's good and something's bad. He will say something's right and something's wrong. Had he gotten it all right, imagine where he'd be. Boaz will correct him. So he begins, and he says to Boaz, he says, Na'ara Moaviyahi. She's a Moabite, Boaz. She's not for you. You're the chief rabbi of Israel. You can marry her. But you know what? She's special. She's a good person. Hashavayim Naomi Misdei Moab. She came back with Naomi from the fields of Moab. She took care of her mother-in-law. She didn't turn her back on her. She converted. And she stuck by her mother-in-law. Vatomer alakotanah v'asafti ma'omarim acharei akotzerim. She says she'll gather the stalks, what remains from the harvest. Vatavo v'tamod. Now she came here, and she's been standing here. Me'az aboker v'adata. She came here from the early morning. She's an industrious person. She came here early. She's been working till now. She only took a small break in the middle to rest. She went back home. But she's been here from early in the morning. Boaz hears the young man. And he thinks to himself, today our court sat on this topic. And today the court came to a conclusion that the tradition we have and the halacha is that the Moabite women are permitted to marry into the Jewish man. Now, no one knew this yet. This was breaking news from Boaz's court. So Boaz approaches Ruth. Here's the scene. Young girl, dressed in rags, dressed like a Moabite, foreigner, newcomer, just finished her gear process and everyone's talking about her. She sticks out like a sore thumb. You see, Boaz shows up to the field and he says, Who is that? That's not one of ours. But now he hears that she is one of ours. He walks over to her. He's the chief rabbi of Israel. He's the equivalent of King David. He is the leader of the time. He is the chief rabbi of the time. Vayomir Boaz el Rut. Boaz says to Ruth, Hello, Shamat Biti. I hope you're going to accept what I'm about to tell you, young lady. Al telechi lilkot besadeh acher. Please, don't go to anyone else's field to collect. Vegam lo tavuri mize. And please, don't leave. I heard you converted. Don't give up. Wait a second. Who told you I converted? Why did anyone say I'm converted? Sometimes a person needs chizuk in life. Sometimes you say a good word, a person can be held for months and years and sometimes a lifetime by a good word. You say something positive to someone, sometimes you give them strength, and even though you're a stranger, when Boaz comes over to Ruth, he tells her, I know you converted. And I know that when a person converts, there's always the hardship that a person feels like it would have been easier had I not made this move. Ruth, don't give up. Do me a favor. It's going to be good. It might be tough now. Please don't leave. We want you. We need you. Lo tavuri mizeh. Don't leave the decision you made. Boaz is touching Ruth in the raw nerve. As much of a tzaddiket as Ruth is, Chazal tell us, every ger has a hardship. Every ger feels like he has a choice his whole life. As dedicated as a ger always feels like, I could have done different, and I still could do different. When a person is born one way and grows up one way, so the thought, maybe I'll go a different course, is foreign to them. Yeah, maybe I'll go live in France. I don't speak French. Maybe I'll go lead a non-observant lifestyle. I've never done it. It's foreign to a person. Well, when a person lived that way once, the Gemara says his whole life is a life where he's contending with a challenge that no one else contends with. A ger is always a bigger tzaddik because he's always contending with that hardship too. And so Boaz tells Ruth what she has to hear. Please don't leave. Don't give up. And you'll be surprised. I've seen where parents, when we were kids, there was one parent in my class who would talk to guys this way. And it always struck me, who does he think he is giving people chizuk? But my classmates, they were strengthened by it. My best friend started smoking behind his parents' back. So this parent calls my best friend in. We were playing together. And we were playing, his son was one of the group, and we went in to get a drink into his house. So this parent calls my best friend and he tells him, Sam, that's his name, says, Sam, I heard you started smoking. So he says, yeah. So he says, I want you to know I smoke. So he says, yeah, I know. So he says, whenever you want a good cigar, you could come to me. So I was seething. But it was brilliant. Because what he did was he took the rebel out of smoking. He said to him, it's legitimate, fine, you're doing it. I hear you're smoking. He didn't come and say, you know, it's a bad thing, I'm going to call your parents, I'm going to tell them. What would he have accomplished? This was a kid whose parents strangled him every night. Like, they killed him. They were the toughest parents, they drove him crazy. So this man understood what he needs is an adult that'll be with him. He might have saved the kid's life. Because he said to him, when you want a good cigar, come to me. And he took him and he showed him his collection. And he said to him, here, tell me what you want. And he gave him his best cigars. He said, go enjoy. Now the kid suddenly was a smoker, but he wasn't rebelling. He was a legitimate smoker. So now he could, and he stopped smoking. A short while later he stopped. It's like, wow. Right. He took the rebel out of it. He said, whenever you want, I'll give you good cigars. Come to me. I smoke. You could smoke. That's fine. So, I always saw this man and I always wondered, why does he tell kids things that are personal? He would sometimes tell a kid, you should know I'm proud of you. And I think, like, who are you to be proud of him? But for the kid, it felt good. He said he was proud of him. So it's a skill. to be able to look at someone when you're sincere, when you're honest, and you tell them a good word, sometimes it's surprising how much a person can take it with them. Boaz is having his first conversation with Ruth, and he tells her, don't give up. Sometimes we have to hear that. Don't give up. Lo tavu imize. Lechot idbakin imnarotai. And I want you to stick around with my girls. Boaz is hinting something. Stick with my girls as they collect. He doesn't tell her directly. And you know what? Ruth misses the hint. You keep an eye as the girls are harvesting, and you follow them. And you go wherever you're comfortable, because I told my young men that when they're harvesting, they should give you space. You do what works for you. Vitzamit. והלכת אל הכלים ושתית מאשר ישבון הנערים. And when you're thirsty, you don't have to go home. You go take the vessels, my lads draw water. You drink from what they draw for themselves. You're invited. ותיפול על פניה ותשתחו ארצה. So she bows before him. ותאמר אליו. So she says to Boaz, מדוע מצאתי חן בעיניך להכירני? Why are you treating me so well? ואנוכי נוכריה. And I come from a nation, you won't be able to marry me if that's what you're thinking. And I come from a nation that can't really connect to the people of Israel. We are so defiled. I'm coming from a people that it's a problem. I'll always be a stranger. Vayan Boaz vayomer la. So Boaz raises his voice as he tells her, "Hu geidu gadli." He tells her, "You know, I just heard today. I was in the court, and they told me that the way we rule is that when Hashem said that Moab can't marry into the Jewish people, it's only the men. And you are a woman from Moab, and you could. And I'm going to tell you something. I received a prophetic vision that you are still going to be the mother for kings and prophets because of all the kindness that you did for your mother-in-law. Somewhere down the road, your descendants will be kings and prophets because you took care of your mother-in-law when she had nothing, as her children died, and you took care of her out in Moab. And then, you left the religion of your nation, you left your family, you left the country you grew up in, and you came to convert. You came to a nation you didn't know what you were coming to. V'ata'azvi avich ve'imech. You left your father and your mother, the eretz molatech, and the land you were born in, vateilechi elam asher lo yadat timol shilshom. You went to a nation that you never saw before. You just went with what was right, and you didn't know what you were getting yourself into. That's naaseh v'nishma. That's what we're doing on the night of Shavuot. We're saying, I'm going to do what's right, even if I don't know where it'll lead me. Sometimes in life, we really don't know where doing what's right is going to take us. Yeshalem Adonai pa'olech. Hashem should pay you back for your good deeds that you've done in this world. Utehimaskutech shilema. And Hashem will give you your complete wages in the world to come. Neim Adonai Elohei Yisrael Asher Bat Lachasot Tachat Kenafav. From Hashem, the God of Israel, that you came to convert, and you are now under His wing. And you should know that that merit of conversion will free you from perdition, and you are still going to be sitting with Sarah, Rivka, Rachel and Leah. Vatomer imtzachein beinecha adoni ki nichamtani. She says, I hope I find favor in your eyes because you've comforted me. You're telling me I have a future. You see, the pasuk is now revealing to us that as positive and active as Ruth was, inside her heart she was human. That means she was also bothered with the idea, I can't marry, I can't build a family. She knew the challenges she was facing. Sometimes we think of a person's a tzaddik, then they're not bothered by the trivialities. They just say, I'm living for God. That's not so. Part of being human is you want children, you want to build a family. Okay, so on Ruth's level, she wants it on a higher level. But it's still supposed to be there. We're not supposed to be angels, we're supposed to be humans. You told me I have a portion in the world to come. You told me I'm going to be with the tzaddikot. I don't think I have merits that make me worthy of being with any of your maids. You're telling me I got great merits in the world to come? I don't think so. I don't think I have merits that put me with your maids. So here we see a lot of points. We see the humility of a real tzaddik, true humility. We also see, I would say, this is my pshat, but I think part of what happens when a person converts is they feel like the lowest maid knows more about Judaism than I do. And so they sometimes feel like, when I come to the world to come, I don't know how to make brachos like them. I don't know how to make a bar nefoshes and asher yotzar and ala michya. I stand there after I wash my hands and I'm not sure with the blessing of al netilas yadayim. A ger can very easily feel that way. And you see that Boaz says that's not what their bon shalom's looking at. We try to keep mitzvot and we have to keep mitzvot. We also have to know that we're not held to a standard that's beyond our ability. That's not the point. Ruth is about to miss his hint, right? He told her stick with the girls, and she's not going to hear that. She's going to go back to the guys. It's only when her mother-in-law will explain it to her that night and say, you know, stick with the girls. She spells it out there, she'll understand. But that's fine. That doesn't change the fact that she's like Sarah Rivka Rachaleya. She grew up in a certain culture. Boaz tells her when the time for the meal comes, come and eat from the bread, come and take from the vinegar. People sometimes think they have strength from sweets. You should know that specifically eating salty, sour things gives you more strength. People don't realize they need salts, not only liquids, especially when it's hot. And people drink Coke, they drink sweet carbonated stuff. It's not necessarily so good for you in the heat. So Boaz tells her, come eat from the bread, take from the vinegar. And then he gives her sweets, and she eats, and she's satiated, and she leaves over. She's going to bring some of the food home for her mother-in-law. And right away, she finished eating, she gets back to work, and Boaz tells the men, like he promised her, wherever she collects, don't bother her. Don't yell at her. Don't embarrass her. And when you're next to her, make believe you forgot stuff, let her take it, and be careful not to yell at her. So here we see added levels of sensitivity. Don't yell at them. Person sensitive. The further down the rung a person is, the more sensitive they are. So the person might be a nudnik. It could be that the beggar comes and asks you 5 times for a donation, and it could be you're not going to give him the second time or the third or the fourth or the fifth. But that doesn't mean we have to yell at them. I don't have to give him 5 times. But if he's on the bottom rung, then I have to beware that specifically the person, I should be careful not to hurt their feelings. So Boaz tells his men, don't yell at her. Notice how he says twice, don't embarrass her, don't yell at her. And she's collecting till the evening. She makes sure to come home before it's dark. And she makes sure to clean her wheat before she goes home. Why should she carry it with the hay? And she carries it home, and she brings her mother-in-law the food. She has with her an ephah. An ephah is 30 se'ah. Se'ah is 6 kav. A kav is the volume of 24 eggs, approximately 2 liters. So now do the math. She had 30 se'ah times 6 kav, 180 kav times 2 liters. That's 360 liters volume of grain from one day. 360 liters. We're talking about approximately 300 Coke bottles, yeah? The Coke bottles are 1.5 liters, yeah? So, right, how'd she bring it home? 250 Coke bottles, yeah? How do you carry that home? I don't know. So she brings home this huge bundle. And her mother-in-law is in shock. And then she gives her the leftover food. And her mother-in-law asks her, where'd you collect today? How'd you get so much? Who is it that treated you so well? Hashem should bless him. And she tells her mother-in-law what happened. And she tells her the conversation, and his name is Boaz. So Naomi tells her he should be blessed from Hashem, because Hashem here has taken care of us, the living, and your deceased husband, the dead, because the dead care about their living relatives. My dead husband cares about me. Your dead husband cares about you. And here Hashem is taking care. She says, you should know he's our relative. And he has a responsibility to buy back our properties. And he has a responsibility to marry you. So Ruth says, you know, he told me to stick around with his boys till they finish the harvest. So Naomi tells Ruth, her daughter-in-law, good idea to stick with his girls. Don't be invited to other fields. And this time, Ruth gets the hint, and she stays with Boaz's girls till the end of the harvest. So they have food. And it's the end of the harvest. And Naomi tells her, I swear, I'm not going to let things go idly by until I make sure that things are good for you. The kindness. Ruth takes care of Naomi. Naomi wants to take care of Ruth. And she tells him, Boaz, our relative, that you were by his field, he is preparing his barley to be put away now. Which means at night, when there's a nice breeze, he tosses the barley in the air, and the wind blows away the chaff, and he is cleaning the barley. These are the nights where they clean the barley. Boaz, the way I know him, is there. And he probably goes to sleep by his fields to ensure no one takes anything. You get ready as though you were getting ready for Shabbos. Wash yourself. Let's make sure your gear, your conversion is kosher. You have to go to mikveh. Anoint yourself. Put on good perfumes the way you would for Shabbos. Put on your Shabbos clothing. Go down to him. And when he finishes eating and drinking, when he's finished, he's going to lie down. Make a note of where he's lying down and go lie down next to him. And let him tell you what you're supposed to do next. She says, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. So she doesn't do what Naomi told her. She says, if I get all dressed up and I go in perfume as the sun is setting out into the street. There are other women who do that as the sun is setting, and they go out into the street. I'm not going out that way. So she says, Ma, I'm going to do whatever you said. And then she doesn't. That's also the brilliance of Ruth. Chazal say a wise person takes what they're told, and they do it a step better. And so she goes down to the field, and there she puts on her perfume. And there she finds a secluded spot, and she changes into her Shabbos clothing. Boaz sits down to eat and drink. Boaz sits down to learn. Boaz goes to daven and thank Hashem that the famine has ended. And then Boaz goes to lie down at the edge of the pile of grains, and he falls into a deep sleep. And this is where we'll pick up on Thursday night, Be'ezat Hashem. You guys can read, you know the rest of the story, but there's a lot to discuss. So it's okay, we can learn Ruth a little bit on Thursday. So the end of the story, we will discuss B'zachim Thursday.